I'd like to continue our teaching that we were looking at last week. And if you remember, the title was The Resurrection of Jesus Christ for the Overcomer. The Resurrection of Jesus Christ for the Overcomer. Now, that is all online for those who would like to listen to this. So you can go on the website, as I can't cover all that we spoke about there. But I want to continue to take this up a stage further, and I trust that you will be blessed by this, and you will see why I'm making such an emphasis about the cross. And we need to do this, because we are finding that much in Christendom is losing sight of it. That is the power of the cross. It can be debated, and it can be argued and questioned and examined. But we have to take it as God's word reveals it to us. And not only that, but it has to be experienced in the true life of a believer who is truly born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. So we're continuing with this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the overcomer. And we have been looking at the importance of the cross and its teaching over the years. It's also for God's glory. And you see, our keeping our eyes and our heart upon this and upon his word, with also our call to walk by total faith and not by sight, we require teaching and understanding of the cross. I think tonight you will appreciate and understand even more why the cross is so central for the walk of faith. That is, for God to work a total faith within us. You see, it is death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. That is what we're dealing with. And when you deal with this, as the scriptures reveal, you clearly see that God was displaying to the world the powers and principalities, and to the very devil himself, he was revealing God's power in the cross and resurrection. He was revealing to heaven, to the hosts and to the angels and archangels. He was revealing to the powers and principalities and to the very devil himself that the very power that raised Christ from the dead was the same power that he spoke the world and the universe into being. This was profound, what was taking place at Calvary. And you diminish this, or limit this, or water this down to an inch or a fraction of what the scriptures reveal it to be, you are impairing true salvation for believers and their experience in the cross and what the cross of Christ has done and will do for those that believe upon the gospel. And this is why I am taking my time with this teaching, so that we can really get this from the head to the heart. Now, if you remember, we opened up last time with two scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. And let us remind ourselves again of what this says of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So the apostle is absolutely sound and resolute on this, and he says to Timothy, this young pastor and evangelist, I want to remind you again. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. He's reminding us, because he doesn't want us to forget that it is the cross. It starts at the cross and it ends at the cross for us as overcomers. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my word. That is the word of God. And the other scripture that we appeal to, if you remember, was in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, to the word of God. So the word of God is absolutely clear that he rose again on the third day. And all the word of God can appeal even to the Old Testament and the prophets, particularly Isaiah, speaking about this great act that Almighty God is going to do on behalf of his Son to raise a new humanity, a spiritual humanity from him and from his spiritual seed. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension is the big controversial issue of the Christian faith. Make no bones about it. It has been attacked down through the centuries, and God knew it would. And this is why he made it infallible, and he had witnesses who saw Christ risen. They tried to deceive, they tried to mirage it, they tried propaganda, all the sort of things that we see today. When they tried to attack truth, they were doing exactly the same when Christ was risen. But he was seen by over 500. God confirmed and reconfirmed that he had risen from the dead. He was revealing the power of the cross and what he achieved. To put the powers of darkness to flight. Because he knew exactly what the enemy would try to do. And of course, those same demons, that same enemy that tried to deceive and lie about Christ's resurrection, are the same demons, active and vocal today, because nothing changes. Nothing is new under the sun. Those same demons were there lying, and they are the same demons today still lying, that there is no resurrection. But we know also the devil tries to attack this because he cannot counterfeit. Why? Because it was a miracle. It was supernatural. And this is what gets the enemy. And this is why he doesn't like miracles happening. This is why he doesn't like us to be supernaturally healed. Because he can't do that. Oh, he can try and counterfeit it. But he cannot compare with Almighty God to the miracles that God does and can do. And there are still miracles to be visibly seen before the Lord returns. And every miracle that God does always points and appeals to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same miracle that raised him is the same miracles that work, whether healing our body or whatever it is, or our belief in the word of God. Now, can we begin to see why the enemy attacks like he does? And we're all too quick to listen to him and to his lies. We started challenging this on Sunday's message, and a lot of you came back how blessed you were, how it spoke to you. Now, that tells me something, how the enemy is still so vocal, attacking our minds. And we're still at times believing him. And when we start believing him, we start confessing those lies that he's telling us. And then that is contrary to the scriptures, the word of God. But I'll tell you what is really going to deal with this. It's when we come to the cross, the death and resurrection. And so that is why we have to keep our eyes and ears and heart open to this all the time. The resurrection, as I've said, clearly reveals the power of Almighty God and over the very enemy himself. And we don't lose sight of this teaching because it's a reminder of God's almighty power. And so when we talk about the cross, we teach about the cross, we are talking today about God's power to save, to heal, to deliver. That is what we're talking about. And we need that power. And as we go through this teaching, you're going to be so grateful for God's almighty power preserving and keeping each of us in this walk. Trust me. You see, if our faith is to be effective and to believe that it can move mountains if need be, then we have to look to the cross as it gives power to our faith to overcome. Maybe you've never thought of it in that way. You've heard much about teaching about the cross and the cross that you also are to take up daily, but never have thought of it in the light that that is the power of God displayed to the world in raising him up. And that is the very power that is needed for my faith to function and believe and to receive these promises in his word. You can't separate any of this. You see, as we look to the cross, it will deal with any questions of doubt we have over God's word. If you are still doubting God's word, you're not sure about it, or you're battling in the mind because the enemy's vocal saying, see, you've confessed all these years, it's not working, nothing's happened. Come back to the cross. Because it deals with everything where our faith is being attacked. How does God do it? Only God knows, because it's supernatural how he deals with these areas of unbelief. You see, many Christians don't either know God's word or have questions with regard to believing it. And then they wonder why there is so much unbelief in the house of God. We've shown many, many times you cannot believe, you cannot release faith if you do not know God's word. If you are not receiving the word of God by the Spirit, sown into your hearts, how can you have a faith to believe and confess? And you'll know if the word of God is being sown in your heart because the enemy comes, he makes attacks. He gets very vocal. And so that can be a good sign that the word is effective in your life, but it's fully effective when your eyes and heart are upon the cross, which is the Christian message. Because when your eyes are upon the cross, you are seeing resurrection, the miraculous working of God. And our faith needs the power of God to make it miraculous, so that your faith can speak to those mountains and they will be removed. Your faith can speak to the sick and they will rise up in the name of Jesus. It needs the power of God's word. And the power of his word lies in resurrection. And this is why we make so much of the cross of Christ. And sadly, so much of Christendom has lost sight of the cross and doesn't teach it as the Bible presents it to us. No wonder the enemy doesn't like this, because this is what puts him to flight. This is what reveals he's a deceiver, a counterfeit. Do you know the powers of darkness are trying to stop the last day's miracles to be seen in the house of God before the Lord returns? He's doing every effort to stop them. But he is a defeated foe because resurrection exposed him for what he is and always will be. That is why we keep our eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you're keeping your eyes on him, that is the cross that's also working in your life daily that you take up and follow. It's a two-way thing, brothers and sisters. But so many of our brothers and sisters don't really believe this. You see, you can't believe in something if you have doubts and questions. Such a teaching like this today to a lot of Christendom would raise simply questions and arguments in their mind and thinking. And then we wonder why there is no faith. Because you can't release faith in that confusion. And so many hearts have become hard in believing. This was the children of Israel's problem. They bickered and argued and moaned and griped. And what they didn't realize they were doing, they were hardening their hearts before God. That is the worst disease a human can be afflicted with spiritually, when the heart becomes hardened. And of course, if we don't understand, we can always go before the Lord and wait on him, and he will always speak and reveal in that right time and way. And he does. Because he wants you believing in his word. Because when you believe and you settle upon the word, you are experiencing the power of the cross that raised Christ from the dead. That very power is at your disposal as well. Defeating unbelief. Defeating those hindrances to your faith. It's like a hedge of protection God puts around you. It's supernatural. And that you can come to a place in believing where you can't doubt. I've got no time to entertain doubts. You can come to that place. That is what the power of God can do. Where you know when you pray according to the will of God, you know he has heard you. Jesus knew his Father would raise him from the dead. He would never have gone otherwise. Yes, in the flesh he walked by faith just like us. But he had a revelation in his heart of God's power to raise him up. And he knew that nothing could separate him from his Father. That is what faith is about, brothers and sisters. My belief, my confession in these promises, this word is also God's in confession. Nothing can separate us in this. And that is an experience, brothers and sisters. And this is why the enemy attacks like he does in believing God's word. Remember, the cross is the center of all of this. When we come to faith, when we come to God's word, we are coming to the cross, the greatest miracle that was ever displayed to human beings. Not only is death, but resurrection. And it confounded the powers of darkness and the very devil himself it put to flight, because he's a liar and a deceiver. And so many are willing to believe his lies and going to a Christless eternity. And that is why this is such a good news, the word of God, the gospel, because it gives us hope, it gives us truth, it gives us life, because that world out there is a lie, a deception. And so many are all too quick to queue up and believe. And how the devil laughs. But praise God, the Lord has got a remnant to himself who have heard, not with just their heads, but with their hearts, have they not? Well, let's look at some scriptures now, just to confirm what we're saying and what the power of the cross is to us as we walk each day and to guide us. For example, Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. We know this very well, that we're talking about the cross for the overcomer and what God achieved at Calvary. And he says here, "Your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So there we are. The power of God's word, and as we look to the cross, it is to deal with sin. And the way sin is dealt with is when we hide the word in our hearts. In other words, it's gone into my heart. It's there. And that is what then deals with sin and unbelief. And again, that takes the work of the Holy Spirit in which to do that. What does Proverbs 30 and verse 5 tell us? We're looking at some scriptures now revealing to us what the death and resurrection has done. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." So there we are. He says that no lie behind God's word. It is actually pure. It's undefiled. It's holy. That is what it's saying. And not only that, is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So the very fact that we put our faith, our trust in God's word, it protects us. So why don't we always believe that? Why do we still run to the arm of the flesh and look for those protections? You know why? Because you need to look at the cross. You need to experience death and resurrection. The cross will deal with that unbelief that we can still have. Because these promises here are absolutely clear. Even a child can believe it. We know this one very well, don't we? In Luke, Luke chapter 8. Can't escape this one. Luke 8 and verse 11. Luke 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, there we are. They do not know the power of the cross in their lives. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and that these do not have root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So again, there's no power of the cross working there. It's based on emotions. They got excited about the message, about the teaching, about that new church they've gone to, or that new preacher they're listening to, but it's not taking any root. And we see so many of those. And he says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So they are the ones who hear the word, but their heart is still in the world. They want to live and act like the world and enjoy how the world lives. And the word of God can never, ever do a work because it's choked by other things. But the ones that fell on this good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. There you go. They consider what they hear wisely. They pray about it. They want to listen to the message again. They want to go to the scriptures. They take great care in how they listen. And those people are experiencing, and they're looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. They're beginning to understand. It's dropping from the head to the heart. What does the Gospel of John tell us? John 17 and verse 17. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So this word, if we take of it, as we've just seen in the parable there, then it's going to separate. And no longer will the word be choked by the world and your love of the world. In other words, if you take of this, then God is going to work that sanctification, which means separation. And you know how that works? You begin to find that you don't like going to those places that you once used to go. You find that you don't want to associate with those people that you once used to associate. You find that you don't want to hear or look or listen to those things that you once used to do. There is a dislike starts to come in your heart. That's the power of the cross working, that separation, sanctification in your life and heart through the love of the truth. That's how it works. And you come to such a place in sanctification that you find you don't fit in anywhere in this world. Your heart isn't in it. It's only in one place above with our Lord and Saviour. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. Do you have that working in your life? Can you confidently say that? Yes, that is my experience. Or maybe you need to look to the power of the cross to get this working in your life. How about Colossians? The book of Colossians. We're looking at some of these scriptures to confirm what we're talking about here with regard to the cross. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, let the word of God dwell in your hearts richly and in wisdom, so that you're able to teach and encourage and admonish, if called for, in witness. That's what the word is to do. Now, if that's not happening in your life as it should be, go back to the cross. Because there is the problem. Hebrews. What does the book of Hebrews have to say about this? A lot. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's start off with Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That is telling us what his resurrection did. He's revealing his power that preserves and keeps us, upholding all things by the what? The word of his power. Everything is held together, the world, the universe, everything. When you look up in the sky, this earth, everything around, the seas, the land, you yourself, your family, your loved ones, your spouse, is kept and preserved by the power of God's word. Everything you have and have been blessed, or if you've been blessed with a family and children, that is because of the power of God's word. And the cross reveals that to us. This is why we make so much of God's word, and this is why we see the enemy attacks it like he does. How he fears all of this. What does it say in Hebrews 4 and verse 12? 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word has to get hold of us. It has to become a part of us. This is what God wants with the word, because faith comes as we hear this word. Because there is a faith that God wants from us, particularly FGA. We are without excuse. with what we're hearing in these last days. And finally, let's look to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. So we've already spoke about the word of God as truth. And if we know it is truth, then that truth is seen by fruit, by love toward one another. You will see by God's love that you are called to serve, to give, to go that extra mile. God's love isn't about me, I, and what I want. God's love is always looking where you can bless your brother, your sister, and so on. That is the nature of that love, and it comes by the power of the word. It comes again as we look to the cross, because that is the answer to everything. Did you know that in the New Testament alone, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned 104 times? I think God is trying to really get that home, isn't he? 104 times it's mentioned in the New Testament. And it was the apostles' teaching and testimony. They saw both his death and his resurrection. The cross burnt in their hearts when their teaching, their message. Not only had they seen him crucified, but they had seen the greatest miracle, a man raised from the dead. No wonder they went forth in power, in might. No wonder they experienced the power of that cross for souls to be converted. Evangelism's got to come back to the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's lost sight of it. We're more interested in entertaining in Christianity. We've lost sight of the word of God and allowing the word to feed us. Instead, we hear today personalities, intellectualism, jokes, and all that goes on today. That's supposed to be the word of God. There is no fear of God in the house of God today, but God is restoring it back, because this is awesome. This is fearful. This is so powerful. This can burn us up if need be. And the question is, as they were eyewitnesses of his death and resurrection, am I a witness? Am I also experiencing his resurrection power now living in my life? Can I confidently appeal to that? Am I living that? Is the power of that coming out that others will see? That is the question. Because I'm supposed to be experiencing a new life, a new birth. Can we appeal to that? If we're not sure, go back to the cross. But they should also be seeing that new life that is in us. As Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. That is why the book of James is on about not only hearers but doers of the word. But it takes the power of God, the power of the cross, to make our life effective and a walk of faith. and that we produce the works of faith. That takes the power of God, the very power that was raised Christ from the dead. You may say to me as we bring this to a close, I'm not sure, Pastor, that I know this. I hear what you're saying, but it's not my experience. Well, if you want it to be your experience, go before the Lord. Start praying about what you've heard. Start asking. Start meaning business with God. And you will find that God will start to move, if need be, as he says, moving those mountains, those hindrances to your faith. It's so easy to believe these promises that we read. It's quite another thing when I am praying these promises and these words of admonition, I'm praying them into my life, that they will become reality, alive, living. That is how a saint grows. And for some, they have never considered that that is what you do in which to grow with God, by asking that I experience, I move into that. Help that to be a part of my life. Bring me to the cross, not only the death, but resurrection, that I may be a witness like those early Christians were, to speak the word. You have to ask. And that's why it says in the word of God, you haven't asked the right thing. We ask amiss, as John says, because you're asking for the wrong things. We're very quick at asking for a new car. We're very quick for asking for that new job or food on the table or whatever it is. We have no problem asking for those things, do we? It almost is secondary. But you see, God now is showing what you really do ask for. And when you start asking for all of these things I've shown, then all those material things that you need will automatically happen. Won't even need to ask. You see, all of this is about putting first the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self and what I want. And if you've got that problem, go to the cross and stay there until the power of the resurrection starts to work in your life. So now can we see the importance of this cross and why we've taken time with this, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important for the overcomer. And we can now see why the powers of darkness try to suppress and keep us down. But praise God, we cannot be kept down for very long. Do you know why? Because Jesus is risen. Have you felt down this week? Have you felt you just can't rise above trials, temptations and all those things that go on? Well, start confessing Jesus Christ has risen, and so have I, by the power of his Spirit, and walk in that new life. And let us finish now with Colossians 2 verse 15. Colossians 2 verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He's disarmed it. He's exposed the powers, principalities, the very devil himself. He's made a public spectacle of him. He's exposed him to the world. God has, in his power, has exposed him to you and to me so that we can make that right choice. That is what it means here. And he's triumphed over it all. It's a complete and utter success. It's victory. That is what he's saying here. And that is why resurrection is so important for us. But you get it when you go to the cross, because you need the power of the cross that was in Christ reconciling the world and raising him up into glory. Is the very same power you need in your life and my life. And never, ever take second best. Stay there until you experience it, because your life will never be the same. Oh, Father in heaven, we bless and thank you, Lord. Lord, we think we've heard it all, and yet there's more and more to come, to hear, to learn, to experience. Father, may this word become reality to us as we take it away, as we listen, and as we pray, and as we come and talk it out before you. Forgive us, Lord, that we can be so complacent. We can be so consumed in ourselves and family and things that can be so irrelevant. Father, we need a greater revelation of you and the kingdom of God that will change us and turn us around. Lord, I pray that you will be merciful and gracious to us. You'll be forbearing, working with us, not giving up, Lord. Forgive us that we are so slow of learning at times. But you have placed it within our hearts that we come and we take of this manna. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the glory which is due to your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.